quite frequently. Bonhoeffer frequently used this term. He said this, he said, cheap grace is preaching forgiveness without requiring repentance. Holy communion without confession. Right, that all people can come and partake of the Lord's body and blood, no matter what. He said, cheap grace is baptism without church discipline. Cheap grace is grace without discipline. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Now look at verse 14 of the Epistle of St. James. And it's our second reading for today. Verse 14 shows us in black and white that the faith which saves sinners, right, a complete faith, is not just a sort of faith of the mind, and it's not just sort of this intellectual exercise or intellectual gymnastics. It is the whole person living and trusting in God. And that changes the way that we live. We do not operate the same after this happens. The faith that St. James is chastising here is not such a faith as that. Right? It's an appearance-only sort of faith. It's these people, you know, it talks and it talks and it talks. But it does not walk. It does not walk. Right? You can't see it in the way that the person actually lives. There's nothing different in their way of life. Can that faith save you? St. James asks. That is, can the sort of faith that doesn't produce, that doesn't result in good works save you? And it's meant to be rhetorical. Right? Because the answer to that question is obviously, absolutely not. It cannot, it doesn't. St. James here has just finished chastising the church for showing partiality amongst the brethren, right? For preferring some people over other people, right? And this can be for whatever reason. Happens all the time, right? Never down here in God's country, right? Never, but way up north somewhere, I'm sure maybe it happens. Not in the South. St. James says, if a rich man and a poor man enter among you, right, enter among you, you ignore the poor man and you defer to the rich, he says. So ultimately what he's saying is that our faith and our relationship with God himself and our love for him is going to show towards those people who God loves. And it's going to be manifest towards these people that God loves. And if it doesn't, then it is dead, or it will die. Period. Right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about what St. James says. He's very clear. Verse 17. So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. Dead. So this faith by itself, just the confession of the tongue or of the mind even by itself, right, is static faith. The static faith does not save, does not move, does not operate in the world, does not save. Even the demons have that sort of faith, St. James says. Even they have that sort of faith. So sola fide, which means faith alone, right, it's Latin, it's the battle cry of many of the kind of Protestant churches in the 16th, 17th centuries. Right? If it means a mere confession, right, of the mind, like an intellectual assent, if it means that and that only, it does not stand up to Scripture. Absolutely does not. This is certainly not what Luther meant by it. And he fleshes this out for us a bit when he talks about this. He teaches about two different kinds of faith. Right? The first one is general faith. Right, this is that static faith, faith that doesn't move. Right, faith like by itself, which even the demons have. Right, they have this general knowledge of God, general knowledge of who God is, even of His power. Right, the demons believe in God. But this type of faith, this mouth only, this intellect only type of faith, does not trust in the promises of God, Luther says. Does not join us to Jesus Christ. And therefore, it does not save us. And so says the Blessed Doctor. The second type of faith, according to Luther, is true Christian faith, is what he calls it. True Christian faith. And this is faith inevitably accompanied by love. And I have said this many, many times. Right? I beat this dead horse over and over again. What is love? It is action. Love is doing. Right? Love is going and doing for another. Right? It is much more than just merely feeling the feels. Right? Feeling all the warm fuzzy. Right? That is not true love. Love acts. Love does for. Love works for. It really is a modern and novel idea that love is purely this sort of emotional thing and nothing else. True Christian faith trusts in the promises of God and is just as active and just as living as the Word of God that it is joined to. Judas, by the way, had the first type of faith, right? Not true faith, non-justifying, non-saving faith. So let me give you a logic proposition. Don't get overly excited, you know, but this logical proposition is this. I'll make a statement, patience is necessary to be a human being. We'll just assume that that's true for all humans. Patience is necessary to be a human. Well, okay, I'm a human. Now let's say somewhere along the line, I have to go to the DMV. And I forget one of the, you know, documents that I should have brought, should have known to bring, but I forget it, and I become impatient, right? Well, what that means, according to that logical proposition, is that I'd stop being a human, right? Paul would say, I would be nothing, right? So, in this hypothetical situation, to be a human means that I have patience all the time. I take it away, I cease being human. In the same way, works are essential to faith. They are essential to faith. True Christian faith is the flower that always, always, always produces fruit. Always. Even mighty mountain-moving faith would be nothing without works of mercy and charity and love. They can't exist without each other. They are intimately, essentially intertwined. St. Paul says this to the church in Rome. He says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and is so saved. So the apostle lifts up two distinct things that constitute a whole, right? Confession, belief. Confession, belief. It is both confession and belief that mark saving faith. And it's this believing with the heart that has along with it the desire to serve God, right? To work in, to work for the kingdom of Christ. And if a person confesses to be a Christian and does not go any deeper than this sort of like mouth-only confession that Jesus is Lord, right? Only maybe mouths the creed mindlessly, for example. Maybe comes to church a couple of times a year to make his mother happy or whatever. Then he definitely doesn't have the love, definitely doesn't have the works that accompany such belief. And in turn, he has no desire for the holy work that Christ has called him to. And that is what St. James calls a dead faith. Good works are a reaction to this believing with the heart that St. Paul preaches to the Romans. It is not what causes it, right? And it's not what justifies. That is something that We need to be able to distinguish and distinguish well. It is the result of the new creation, right? The new creature that God has brought forth from the waters of baptism. That's why someone should be able to follow you around for a time, right? We'll say more than just a day, because everybody has a bad day, right? Everybody, you know, forgets to renew their registration online and has to go down to the DMV once in a while, right? Everybody has those bad days. But remember this. Good works are a mark, right? They are a sign of saving faith. They're not the cause of. And so when that person follows you around for a few days, they should be able to look at you. Look at the works that you've been doing. Look at how you live your life. And they should be able to know who your master is. They should be able to know that you confess that you are a Christian and that Christ is your Lord and your King. This is completely different, by the way, than saying that we earn salvation. Right? Completely different. Or that we stand justified before the Lord because of the good works that we do. St. Paul says in Galatians 5, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is," listen to this, "the only thing that counts is faith working through love." Faith working through love. Other translations into English have this: faith made effective through love. How about that? There is at the present time across the entire church this idea that this general faith, right, this first faith that Luther speaks of, right, the stagnant faith that really isn't faith at all. There's the idea that this is what constitutes the life in Christ. That this is what constitutes saving faith. Right, Bonhoeffer would call this cheap grace, of course. That one can merely call on Jesus as Lord or say, "I'm a Christian," and then proceed to do exactly what he or she likes with the rest of their life. Like kind of operating like one's faith isn't supposed to form one's entire life. Right? I'm good now, right? I'm saved. I can behave. I can act any way that I want to. I can treat other people like garbage if I want to. This is the great theological fallacy of our day. And it's a tragedy that many, many people today have adopted. That if you just confess that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior or whatever, then you'll be saved for all eternity. Right? And once saved, always saved, so the rest of my life doesn't matter. And if by some chance, right, you need to get saved again, then what that means is that you weren't really saved the first time. So it turns into this unending dilemma of, are you really saved? Am I really saved? Have I believed enough to be saved? Have I believed purely enough? Have I believed the right things to be saved? The chief problem with that, of which there are many, but the chief problem is that the quality, right, and the persistence, right, the consistency of your salvation, right, what is that based on? Under that understanding, well, it's based on your emotion. It's based on how much you feel it. Or if you don't. What's lacking here, of course, is the exhortation to bring the head and the heart together. To let that confession actually form one's life, resting on the assurance that Jesus Christ is good on his promises. And he does not renegotiate. Hear the word of the Lord from St. Matthew, chapter 17. If you've got your Bible, you can open it. Starting at verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? It's fig season right now. Guarantee you, you're not gathering them from thistles. In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. I'll read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many other deeds of power in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. That's what Jesus says about it. A person that is not justified by works of the law, but through true faith in Christ, a faith that is ever accompanied by love, that acts on the words of Jesus, that necessarily produces good fruit, good works. Faith and works go hand in hand. Where there is one, there is the other. And likewise, where there is not one, there is not the other. And I'll leave you with one more quote. And this is from St. Augustine. He says this: man and sinner are, so to speak, two realities. When you hear man, this is what God has made. When you hear sinner, this is what man has made himself to be. Brethren, destroy what you have made, so that God may save what he has made. When you begin to abhor what you have made, it's then that your good works are beginning. Since you are accusing yourself of your evil works, the beginning of good works is the confession of evil works. St. Augustine said, beloved of the Lord, there is no sinner without a past. There is no saint who does not have a future in Jesus Christ the Son. Repent and love God. And love God by loving those people whom he loves. In Jesus' name.